What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your new host, Charles T. Hamilton. I was raised in the Bay, lifelong Warriors fan, and could not be more excited about doing this podcast. I'm currently a radio host at Sports 1140 KHTK up in Sacramento. I've worked on every radio broadcast for the Sacramento Kings for the last 3 years, and in doing so, I've been able to make connections throughout the NBA, media, and otherwise. I am the former co-host of the Locked On Kings podcast, and I am ecstatic about starting this Locked On Warriors podcast. I noticed you guys haven't had a Locked On Warriors in about a month, so we have a ton to get to. All that's going to be coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your new host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got a good one for you today. As I mentioned, I noticed it's been about a month, I think, since the draft, since we've had a Locked On Warriors. So we got some free agency stuff to get to. We got maybe a little summer league to get to. Still wondering what's up with Pat McCaw. Plenty going on in the Warriors world. Shout out Warriors World, by the way. But let's start with the most recent, and I don't even want to call it news or drama, because it wasn't really either. Really what it was the media blowing something out of proportion and during a slow news time for the NBA. And, look, anything Kevin Durant does is going to get, well, anything that they can spin negatively is going to get attention. Some of the positives he's done recently, you know, get maybe a blip here or there. But the negatives are going to get some run. And that's exactly what happened recently. He was a guest on the pull-up pod with CJ McCollum and Jordan Schultz also, but Jordan wasn't there for this episode. And thanks a lot, CJ. It's bad enough. All you former athletes take all the TV and radio jobs and once you retire, but now you're doing it while you're still a player. So thanks. No, I'm just kidding. It's a great podcast. Definitely check it out, whether KD's on it or not. But so I could try and explain it to you, but the audio itself, I think, would do a better job of explaining it. So I'm going to throw to that right now, and then I'm going to come back, and we'll break that thing down. That's coming up next on Locked On Warriors.
Nah, you know how I felt, bro. I was hot. I don't know if I was more mad than when you went to go. I think I was more mad.
Why are you mad about this stuff?
Bro, I'm in the league. What do you mean? Why am I mad about this stuff? I mean, like, I'm in the Western Conference. I got to play you MFers all the time anyway, as it is, over and over again. We done got eliminated by y'all a few times in the first round. So I'm looking at cuz.
I mean, you know you know you guys aren't going to win a championship.
Bro, we have the team. We have capabilities. Anything is possible. We can win a championship, bro.
I mean, let's be honest.
Bro, we can win a championship. Anything is possible.
I need more. I mean, I like y'all too. You're hard to stop. But, I mean, come on. You can't be upset about this.
I can be upset because Cuz was a free agent, which means he could have. This is why I was upset. He could have came to Portland. His agent and Nurk have the same agents. So I'm thinking, okay, you ain't gonna come to us, whatever. Why you gotta go there, Cuz? I'm gonna text him. I was mad. I got on Twitter.
Yo, get out your feelings.
And I really text Cuz. I'm like, Cuz, what's up, bro? Like, why? Like, what?
Yo, you're the first person I've seen.
Why did this happen?
Who said something? I was crying on Twitter when you seen that.
No, people thought I was playing. I was a real text cousin.
Yeah, that was funny.
We hashed it out. I needed to know what was going on. I wanted to know why.
You want him to come to Portland?
Bro, I think that anything is possible, bro. I'm just saying, man. You're trying to get me in trouble. I'm happy with Nurk. Nurk's a great big man for us. Nurk's playing well.
I mean, you did just say on the airwaves, I mean, you might cut it out, but that you just said that he should have came to Portland. So you ain't want Nurk?
Of course I want Nurk.
Okay. But you'd rather DeMarcus.
We could have had both of them.
Y'all not getting both.
Y'all only paid him $5 million. We had 12 to $15 million in cap.
No way it's happening. Y'all, it ain't going to be no. It's got to have a nice yin and yang, bro. It's going to be too much of one thing. with y'all. So he stopped that.
So what do you suggest?
I suggest you just keep playing, man, and don't worry about what goes on at the top of things.
We right there at the top of things. We was a third seed last year, bro. We was right there. We was just slightly below 1-2.
But then, how'd you play?
Some unfortunate situations happened in the first round.
How'd you play?
Some unfortunate circumstances.
Like an 8 seed. We did not
play. So that is not the end of it. Couple days later, after getting clowned by Kevin Durant on his own podcast, CJ McCollum was asked a question by Big Cat of PMT. And CJ said, he know that decision was soft, but I respect it. It's like getting jumped with your brothers by a gang you should have beat, then joining the game that jumped you and your brothers 2 months later and forgetting about your bros. To which Kevin Durant replied, so I would get into a gang fight, lose, plot on my brother for 2 months in our home, then go get the gang we lost to and beat him up. You think that low of me, CJ? I just did your effing podcast. Snakes in the grass, boy, I tell you, with a crying laughy emoji, I believe. So there it is. Here's my take. Kevin Durant killed this. He did a great job. CJ and Dame have had a history of running their mouth about the Warriors, and it's pretty funny that Kevin Durant is the one that's called, you know, soft and insecure and all this stuff, which, you know, besides some of the burner stuff, I think it's really overblown. And look, the burners were a big deal. Like, it was a really big deal. You can't just overlook that. But then we relate, or not we, a lot of people relate everything to back to that. Everything he does back to that. He's super insecure. But Dame and CJ are the ones in their feelings about KD joining the Warriors and Boogie joining the Warriors. They're the ones who are crying about it all the time. But they're competitors, right? They're just, those guys compete. Look, I think KD did awesome in this situation. I think he crushed him on the podcast, which was hilarious. It sounded like two guys joking around. I enjoyed it. And then on Twitter, I feel like KD, you know, his response was sarcastic. I don't think he took it to heart at all. But that's not how it was reported. People think KD is too insecure, too soft about all this, where I completely disagree. I think there are conversations that can be had about Kevin Durant in that manner. Like, I mean, he just went at some 17-year-old on Instagram recently, which, sure, if that sparks the conversation, fine. But this interaction that he had with CJ should not spark that conversation. The conversation that should be had about this is that Kevin Durant owned CJ. But that's not the conversation that's being had. He was asked at a practice recently if he was upset at, what was it, the USA, Team USA practice, or shoot around, whatever it is, because I know they're not playing. But he responded, wait, why am I the one that's upset when CJ's the one who is crying about me on the Warriors and then the one who tweeted something 3 days later and, you know, I just responded to him, but I'm the one who's upset. Isn't CJ the one that's upset? And it's all really stupid, honestly, but this is a case where I agree with Kevin Durant. I think he's being unfairly categorized or characterized in this situation because, look, if Joel Embiid did what Kevin Durant did on the podcast and then on Twitter, people would be losing their minds about how great Joel Embiid is and how awesome he is. And he's so good for the NBA and like he doesn't take any crap and this and that. But since it's Kevin Durant, it's a bunch of think pieces about if he's too soft, too sensitive, which I think is all BS. Also, CJ, dude, that's such a weak move. It's the classic, you get in an argument with someone, and then 3 days later you come up with the response, and you're like, damn, I wish I said that. And then you tweet it out. And by the way, that analogy was terrible. Terrible. Some things don't need analogies either. If you're really upset about Kevin Durant joining the Warriors, the action of him joining the Warriors is enough. You don't need the stupid gang-jumping analogy. I don't know if anyone out there listening has ever been jumped. I have. It sucks. It sucks. And basketball is nothing like gang warfare. I hate analogies that equate child's games like basketball or football to warfare. Gang warfare, military warfare, any of that stuff. I think it's so stupid. So, CJ, you need to get out of your feelings, dude. You got to relax. And, you know, when you get owned, maybe you just sit on it, dude. Don't come back 3 days later with a terrible analogy. Terrible analogy. Like I said, if you think him joining the Warriors was that whack, the action of him joining the Warriors is enough. You don't need to come up with some terrible analogy about it. So there's that. That's the most recent Warriors news, if you want to call it that. Really stupid. Doesn't mean anything. It's really just something to talk about during a slow period and got blown up into something that it really didn't need to, but you know how national media is. They have, you know, 12, 15 hours of content they need to fill a day, so why not? Why not talk about this and turn it into a psychoanalysis of Kevin Durant? I would appreciate if we didn't psychoanalyze every single dribble that he takes this year, but the fact that he signed a 1-1 with the Warriors, too bad. They're going to, and I'm just going to have to deal with it, and so are all of you. It sucks, but oh well. So there it is. That's the news. That's the CJ Kevin Durant news. Like I said, if you want to call it that, to me, it's nothing. To me, it was actually really funny and nothing more than what something that should have been enjoyed on Twitter and, you know, throughout the national media of this is why the NBA is the best. This stuff, because this is fun. This is two guys going at it jokingly, but in public for all of us to enjoy. Instead, we turned it into, you know, a bunch of unqualified therapists trying to break down Kevin Durant's psyche. So I think I've spent too much time on it also, but had to get to it on this first day of Locked On Warriors. We got plenty more to get to. I think I should just go right into free agency. I know chronologically I kind of messed it up, but with the Kevin Durant CJ stuff, that was the most recent. So I wanted to get to that. Because I don't think there's been a Locked On Warriors since the draft. When they got Jacob Evans, you know, solid pick. We'll get to that a little later also. But free agency. DeMarcus Cousins is a Warrior, guys. I don't know. I love it. I got nothing else. I mean, as you can tell, I'm rambling. I have not much to say about it except it's awesome. I was sitting there, you know, on Twitter, as I'm sure we all were, waiting for the next Woj bomb, the next Sham bomb, Sham Wow. I don't know. I hate that Sham Wow. We got to think of a better term. Are we just going to go Sham Bomb? Like, I'm fine with that. That guy's a beast, by the way. He's like 25 and is, neck and neck with Woj, I'd say. But anyways, I was sitting there watching Twitter, as we all were, watching a lot of guys that I thought the Warriors might have a chance at go off the board for a lot more money than I expected. Doug McDermott, that's absolutely ridiculous that he got seven a year for 3 years. But, hey, if Indy can pay it, why not? Joe Harris, who else? Ilyasova was out there, Bellinelli. They all got paid more than I thought. Glenn Robinson III, I thought he would have been a nice fit also. All these wings, Ariza. Mbamute was later, but he got a little more money than I would expect it. I can't believe the Rockets let both them go. But we'll probably talk about that a little later this week as well. So, as I mentioned, sitting there watching Twitter, and what was it? His business manager, you know, what did he tweet out? We're playing chess, not checkers, or something like that. And then the Woj, I think it was Shams actually, the Sham Bomb came through, that DeMarcus Cousins was joining the Golden State Warriors. And my immediate response was to check that it was the real Sham, because you're not going to get me, okay? I'm not going to be the guy that you get on with a fake account and a fake story, you know? I'm going to make sure. And I did it like five times because it was so unbelievable. Why would this ever happen? Why would he join the Warriors? So once I found out it was real, I just started laughing maniacally. I mean, I could not believe it. I don't know if any of you could. It didn't make sense. Did not make sense at all. Figured he would have gotten a lot more money somewhere else. And, you know, he might have been able to get a nice, I don't know, one-year deal on a bad team. Like he said, that doesn't accomplish anything for me. You know, if he went to, I don't know, throw a team out there, Orlando, for, you know, $10, $12 million. All that does is just get him paid a little bit more. It's awesome. Great move by the Warriors. I think a great move by DeMarcus because his rep around the league is it depends what you think about DeMarcus. It's either as bad as you thought it would or maybe even worse than you thought it would be. Because I figured with his talent that teams would be fine with, you know, some of the stuff that comes with it. But apparently not. Apparently a lot of teams just had him off the board even before his injury. And then with the injury, a lot of teams didn't want to touch him, didn't want to pay him, didn't want to wait around for him to get healthy because he's not going to be ready by the beginning of the year, beginning of the season. We'll get into time frame and stuff like that a little bit later about when he'll actually be back. But that's one of the luxuries he has in joining the Warriors. He does not have to come back until he's healthy. I think Bob Myers even said it in one of his interviews. The only time frame we have for DeMarcus is the NBA playoffs. And even then, you know, if it doesn't work out to for whatever reason that he's not ready by the playoffs, this team will still be pretty damn good with Damian Jones, Kevon Looney, and Jordan Bell at the five. It's perfect. I really don't know what to say. They've been looking for a scoring center, someone who can, you know, just catch the ball and get a bucket. I mean, that's what was so great about JaVale was when he was on the floor with four All-Stars, you know, he would get wide open looks and would convert them. And that was the biggest difference between him and Zaza and even David West at times because of his, you know, advanced age and not a great athlete at this point in his career. Shout out David West, though. Love the guy. That was what made JaVale so valuable and important to this team. And they were looking for a scoring center, and they got the scoring center. I think I stole that line from Marcus Thompson. Shout out, Marcus. But it just, it's perfect. I mean, that's all I can say. No time frame for when he needs to come back. When he does come back, he'll be starting. They can ease him in. He can get, you know, get his sea legs back, get his wind back, whatever it is. It's a great situation for him, and if it works out in Golden State, his value will be higher than if it worked out anywhere else. Because if it works out in Golden State, that means he comes back, plays really well. I mean, look, I don't expect him to be the DeMarcus Cousins that we've seen before for a couple different reasons. The injury, obviously, he's not going to be getting the ball as much on this team, because he's going to be on the floor with four other All-Stars. That's so ridiculous. I actually do expect him to be anchoring that second unit and getting buckets on that second unit, which is going to be crazy. But if it does work out, he comes back, shows that he's healthy, shows that he's still a very talented player, still worth a lot of money. And then on top of that, if it works out, it probably means they win another championship. So you have DeMarcus Cousins going to the Warriors, fitting in, winning a ring, showing he can still play. His value will be as high as it could be as if he went to, I don't know, pick a bad team, Brooklyn, and put up, you know, 20 and 12 while still being, you know, still being DeMarcus. So I do expect this to work. And here's the other thing also, people talk about his injury, and he's not going to come back as the same player, and that's fine. Because, look, even if he comes back at 50% production and still puts up, so what does that mean? 50%? He's given the Warriors, you know, 13-8. Still the best center that the Warriors have had since, I don't know, Wilt? Like, that's the other thing. The way this has been reported and talked about is he's either going to be the DeMarcus Cousins of, you know, what, 2012, 13, I don't know when his best year was, the All-Star years. You know, 27 and, you know, 14, whatever it is, crazy numbers, or he's going to be washed and not play anymore. For some reason, no one likes to report it like there's something in between. But if they get a 50, 60, 70% DeMarcus Cousins, that'll still be the best center they've had in a very long time. And scoring wise, forget it. I mean, best scoring center they've had since Wilt, for sure. So I'm excited. I do have to talk about the potential that it couldn't work. And being up in Sacramento, I've I was not a huge fan of his while he was up here. His game speaks for itself, obviously. But context matters. It always should matter, honestly. And that's something you'll see from me is I'm a big context guy. Not every situation is the same. Would I want DeMarcus Cousins to be the guy that I give $200 million contract to and build my team around? No, not really. Probably not. I mean, definitely not. Unless he can prove something different in his time in Golden State, no, he's not that guy. Is he the guy that I wouldn't mind giving $5 million to on the best team in the league to at a position of need for 1 year to see what he can do, take a flyer on, low-risk, high-reward flyer? Yeah, he absolutely is that guy. And the risk is so minimal because they're only paying him $5 million. And for some reason, if this doesn't work out, he doesn't get back to the player that he was. He doesn't get back to, full health is tough because I don't think he'll ever be full health again. It's hard to get fully healthy after an injury like that. But if he doesn't get back to, you know, being efficient, if he doesn't fit in the locker room, doesn't fit with his style of play, if all these things go wrong, it really doesn't matter because they're not tied to him for anything more than this year. And even so, they can probably trade him. I would imagine there'd be a team out there that would be willing to take on, 1 year of his $5 million in cap space. And it'll be interesting to see because if it doesn't work out, it depends on what reason. Like the Warriors might even be able to get something back for him if it doesn't work out. But I'm planning on it working out. I don't see how it couldn't. It's just too easy. And I don't want to say like his last chance because he's still DeMarcus Cousins, but it's his last chance to rehab his image for a big payday. Like even if it doesn't work out with the Warriors, he'll still latch on to another team and, you know, make small money NBA wise and also compared to what he could have been making. But it's his last chance to rehab his image and rehab physically to get another big payday. So there it is, the DeMarcus Cousins news. Going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk about a little more free agency, maybe some draft. I don't know. We still have a lot to get to for the rest of the week also because you haven't had Locked On Warriors in a while, man. So I'm happy to be here. By the way, hit me up on Twitter at CTH415. Let me know what you guys think. Do you agree with me on DeMarcus? Disagree? What about KD? Do you guys agree? All that stuff, man. Would love to hear from you guys. It's something I did with Locked On Kings and had a great time doing it. Love talking hoops. It doesn't just have to be Warriors either. I mean, I'm just an NBA fan. So holler at me at CTH415. Come on back. Going to talk some more free agency. That's next on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your new host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just finished talking to DeMarcus Cousins. Just finished talking KD and CJ. Something I also wanted to say about the KD-CJ thing, and I know this was, 15 minutes ago, but the most upsetting part of that podcast was the fact they were eating on it, because it's gross, man. It sounds gross. Don't eat and talk on a podcast, because it's disgusting. So I'm more upset about that than anything else that happened on that pod. I just had to get that in there. I just had to get that in there. You'll never hear me eating on this podcast. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. But it's gross, dude. I thought that was gross. I hope they don't ever do that again. But I'm sure they will. So, DeMarcus Cousins was the big news for the Warriors in free agency. They also were able to sign Jonas Jerebko, which is a move that I personally love. I don't want to give him too much hope because I thought Omri Caspi would be a great fit also, but I think he'll be what they thought Omri Caspi would be. But again, I thought Omri Caspi would be Omri Caspi. So, but just meaning a guy that can come in, be a backup for, because besides Draymond, they don't have another quote unquote stretch four. And even calling Draymond a stretch four is a stretch in itself, because the idea behind a stretch four is they can shoot threes, and Draymond's not a great three-point shooter besides that 1 year where he shot like 39%. I think if you just take threes, you're called a stretch four. But Jonas Jerebko, the guy can knock down the three, shot 41% from three last year. He's about 6'10", 225. Not a defensive stopper by any means, but not terrible either. He's going to be a big part of the rotation. I'm excited to see it. I think the Warriors killed free agency, obviously, as they usually do. Because not only do they get Cousins and Jarebko, they also got Kevon Looney back. And they got Kevon Looney back for actually less than they would have had to pay him if they took his fourth-year option, which they declined, and it actually seemed like a mistake when it happened, shortly after it happened, because he started playing really well. But his fourth-year option was going to be around $2.2 million, I think, and since they didn't pick it up, they weren't allowed to pay him any more than that, but they could pay him less than that, which I know is kind of messed up, but he tested free agency. I don't think he got any offers, really. I think the Clippers had a meeting with him. I can't imagine it was more than the minimum, since the Warriors were able to get him back for the minimum, which is about $1.5 million. So they were actually able to save some money on his salary, which, you know, can sound bad, but when you're paying, I think, $350 per in luxury tax per every dollar spent, that, you know, $700,000 saves them a couple million in luxury tax. So it actually worked out really well for the Warriors. Still waiting on Pat McCaw. Pretty sure he's going to sign his qualifying offer for about $1.74 and just be a Warrior, which is good. I like Pat. I know he didn't have the year people thought he would have last year, but I don't think that there is an upgrade out there over Pat McCaw. I think there were earlier in free agency, but like, you know, we kind of mentioned with DeMarcus, that mid-level, taxpayer mid-level for about $5.4 million. With the luxury tax you're going to have to pay, it's really more around $20 million altogether. So you want to make sure you're getting a player pretty close to worth that. And there weren't a lot of players out there that they could get for that. You know, the ones that you would figure were worth that went for a lot more money. Trevor Ariza went for $15 million. Avery Bradley's making $12 million this year and $12 million next year. Who else was out there that was a big name that you would have thought would be worth that? There weren't a lot. There really weren't a lot. So to get DeMarcus for that makes sense. To bring back Pat McCaw for the qualifying offer makes a ton of sense, because it's weird. He's been getting killed for his performance last year, and he didn't play well. And then he got injured and didn't really get to play much in the playoffs. But I'd still want him on the team and still want him as an option at the wing over the options that are out there right now, the realistic options that are out there right now. So he'll most likely sign, play for the qualifying offer, and he'll join Jarebko and DeMarcus Cousins as the all the guys that signed with or re-signed with the Warriors and Kevon Looney. So I think it was a knockout year for the Warriors in free agency. They got two guys, DeMarcus Cousins, who there was no reason to expect them to have a chance to get, and then Jonas Jarebko, who was under contract with the Jazz, so they literally couldn't get him. They got two guys they had no idea they'd be able to get, and they got them both for much less than they're worth. So, bang-up job again by the Warriors and Bob Myers. Last one. They just signed Daniel House. I was about to wrap this up, but I have to throw this in there. They just signed Daniel House to a non-guaranteed contract for training camp. And he's a guy who, you know, he played something like 30 games for the Suns last year, played a lot in the G League. In the G League, he was shooting about 38% from three. Solid defender, explosive athlete. I like it. I look at it as Pat McCaw insurance. Just in case he gets a late offer from somewhere else or something like that. Most likely a two-way guy, honestly. And speaking of two-ways, they also signed Damian Lee to a two-way contract, who is Steph Curry's future brother-in-law. I'm sure it had something to do with it, but at the same time, he's a guy who also played a handful of games for the Hawks last year, played in Santa Cruz last year as well, and is going to continue to play some time in Santa Cruz and some with the Warriors. Worth a flyer, for sure. And they want to spend these two-way contracts on guys who have some experience in the NBA, who they could throw into a game if need be. And that's Damian Lee and potentially Daniel House, or maybe even Kendrick Nunn, who had a okay summer league and looked really good at times, but was inconsistent. Nice score. So there it is. One last thing I want to throw in here, because I've heard people talk about, you know, Jamal Crawford, or they need a scorer off the bench. Who's going to get him buckets off the bench? Which, yeah, sure. It'd be great to have. But I also am wondering, weren't we all losing our minds over Quinn Cook for the last 30 games of the season last year? I think we were. So I think Quinn Cook can fill that void, and I'm excited to see what he can do because I don't know if we have short memories or what, but I remember when he was killing it last year, putting up 20 points a game, people were worried the Warriors wouldn't be able to retain him. So I'm excited to see him. Hope he can handle that, you know, six-man scoring role. I think he can, but I just wanted to put that out there because, you know, Jamal Crawford's fine, but he's inefficient. He'd be a good locker room guy, but as far as like thinking you're going to get a ton out of him, I would disagree. But again, if you disagree with me, hit me up on Twitter at CTH415. Always want to hear what you guys think. As I've said before, also on Locked On Kings, I know this, you guys haven't heard it. As I say, I've said it before, but, this podcast is about you guys. So whatever you guys want to talk about, let me know. If you agree or disagree, let me know. Again, we have about a month of news we got to cover because you guys haven't had Locked On Warriors in a month. So we're going to continue to do that this week. I'll be back on Wednesday with another episode. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I'm excited to be your new host of Locked On Warriors. And come on back on Wednesday because I will definitely be here. This has been Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.